Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Our second scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now just to say, I know God has spoken to some people right now. I feel strongly there. There are one or two people that expected God and mentioned you this morning as we are worshiping. And it's as if you felt a hand upon you. And you know what I just said, the Spirit of Lord tell me, or the Holy Spirit telling me right now, is that you have been anointed for a purpose, for a certain task. You have been anointed for an assignment, if I use that word, this morning. But that there are certain places that you go to that you need to stop doing, or certain things you do, and I'm not sure in what respect. Because those are the things that will take the anointing away. And, you know, you just need to watch, if I use the word, watch your step. You need to watch your step. You need to watch, that's the only way I can put it, watch your step. Because if you don't dare, you know, that the anointing, but you have been anointed for an assignment this morning. Hallelujah. And then for one or two people as well, I just felt in my spirit that there has been a restoration in your life back to where you're supposed to be. Back to where you're supposed to be. That God has restored you. That the shame is in the past. But that the restoration is to bring you back to the position where you ought to have been before the shame came. And that don't allow the shame to stop you. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and I read, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This morning, I just want to continue along the lines that I started last week. And the title of my message is Secret of Fulfillment, Part 2. Or if you want another title, You can call it the determinant of fruitfulness. The determinant of fruitfulness. The determinant of fruitfulness. The determinant of fruitfulness. It is. God, I believe God is saying, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged, if I use that word. Don't let the things happening around you or whatever, let your weak hands go down. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Last week, I started talking about the secrets of fruitfulness. I'll get into this message. Hallelujah. Last week, I started talking about the secrets of fruitfulness. Somebody help me. Amen. And you know, let me just say, you know, I declared at the end of last year that this is our year of fruitfulness. And last week I informed you that you have a part to play in determining how fruitful you'll be. That the words you hear, the seeds, the messages preached, the prophecies that are given, that they are a seed that are sown in your life. And your fruitfulness will depend on how you water it. I also explained that God's first instruction to man, which we read earlier in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, is be fruitful and multiply. And it is God's intention, it is God's plan for us to be fruitful. It is His desire, it is His expectation for us to be fruitful. And I explained to you last week as well that you have everything you need in you to produce the fruit that God has ordained for you. I made you aware of the fact that the fruit that you are looking for is on the inside of you. That you have the ability, you have the potential to produce fruit. To produce not just any kind of fruit, but the fruit that God wants for you. Because God has already put it in you. Because the minute God said, be fruitful, it means that He has put the ingredients in you for you to produce those fruits. And I explained that it is only when you abide in Jesus that you can bear fruit. And this morning, I just want to continue along those things. And I want to talk a bit more about the determinants of fruitfulness. You need to understand that there are certain things, or there are certain determining factors that will determine or influence your ability to produce fruit. Let me repeat that. There are certain things, certain determining factors that will influence your ability to produce fruit. And I think it's quite important for us to understand this thing so that we can be cognizant of them. We can deal with them if we need to. So that we can have one of the most fruitful years of our existence this year. And the first thing I want to talk about, and I'll just try to go straight into the message. The first thing I want to talk about is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 that we read earlier. And the first thing that determines whether you produce fruit or not is the soil. Soil as in S-O-I-L. The soil. What do I mean by that? Let's take a farmer that goes to plant a seed. The soil that he plants the seed on will determine whether that seed germinates or not. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the scriptures. According to the scripture that we read earlier, Jesus said something. He explained that there are four types of soil that the word of God falls on. You are either one type of the soil or you are another type. He said there are four types of soil that the word falls on. He said there's the wayside, there's the stony ground, there's the one that falls among thorns, and there's the good ground. Listen to me. The fact that you are hearing this message today does not mean that it will be of profit to you. The fact that you hear a message every Sunday, or messages every Sunday, the fact that you hear messages regularly does not mean that it will be of profit to you. It does not mean that the things that you hear today will produce anything in your life. The soul that you have within you will determine whether it produces or not. You see, the interesting thing about this parable of the sower that Jesus spoke about, the interesting thing, if you look at it closely, you know, I was trying to look at it closely, and if you study between the lines, and I use the word between the lines, you find out that the interesting thing is that all the different types of people that Jesus described probably loved God. So, he said that they came to hear the word. Now, it's most likely that they love God, so that's why they came to hear the word. So, the fact that you don't produce does not mean you don't love God. And seated here are so many people that love God, but there are different souls here. Am I speaking to someone? And you see, their desire, when Jesus described it, the desire of the people that he described, their desire was probably to please God. But the fact that you have a desire to please God or to do what God says does not mean that you have created the right soul in you. Listen to me. Desire does not equate to actualization. They are not the same thing. The fact that I desire something, until I act upon it or make it become something, it does not become real. So desire is not enough. Let's take a closer look at each of these types of souls that Jesus spoke about. The first type that Jesus spoke about is those that fall by the wayside. So he said something. He said in verse 3, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." And as I share this, you need to assess which one you are. Amen? Now, according to the words of Jesus in that scripture, these are the people that hear the word and they fall by the wayside. What does that mean? Those are the people that hear the word in church. But as soon as they leave the church, the enemy attacks that word. You hear the word and it seems so real. You believe what the pastor is saying. The pastor says, this is going to be your most fruitful year. But the minute you step out, the enemy begins to create doubt in you. You begin to doubt the word that, how can I be fruitful? I don't have any talent. I don't know what to do. I don't do. And the enemy, the pastor says that, look, God has set you apart for a purpose. And the minute you step out, the enemy reminds you, and as you're seated there, because there's an atmosphere of faith in this place. You believe it. Yes. But the minute you step out, or the next day, you wake up and you begin to think of your past life, of how you have failed in the past, when you tried various projects, and you begin to think, how can God use me? And Jesus was talking about people that once they hear the word, it's not that they don't love God, but the minute they step out, in fact, in the same chapter, you know, you explain the parable in verses 18 to, but we don't have time to look at it, I'll just try to, is that unbelief sets in. I don't know if you've ever been, I've been there before, you know, I go and I pray or something and God begins to speak to me, I write it down. And then a day or two later, I go and look at what I wrote and I think, you must be joking, or did I hear right? And you know, until you are able to challenge the word, challenge the unbelief, if I use that word, then you will always fall by the word will always fall by the wayside. Because you need to come against that unbelief, the doubt, and those things with the word that you heard in the first place. You see, they are the kind of people. The people that, when they hear the word, they fall by the wayside. They are the kind of people that when they hear a word, they are so excited and go and tell their friends or their family or their enemies. And their friends or family or enemies will say, get back to us. Come on, get real. Those are the first kind of people, the soul. So, as you hear the word on a Sunday, you hear it while you're here, you believe it. But the minute you step out, or within a week, it will snatch away. The second type of people, let me move on quickly. Second type of people that Jesus described, he said, those that are stony ground. So, he says that the seed fell, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no dust of earth. Listen to me. These are the kind of people that they hear a word, they run in it, with it. So they start, they believe it, they run with it. So they are going. However, they do not have any dirt in themselves. So they are the type of people that they have not developed any prayer stamina. They are the kind of people that they cannot pray. When they pray, but after 5 minutes, they are tired. They are the type of people that when they read the word, after reading two verses, they are sleeping. Have you ever noticed that? You know, I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, I mean that sometimes when you sit down and watch a film, you are not feeling sleepy. Then after you finish watching a film, you go into the study, and then one kind of sleep catches your eyes. Or is it just me that it happens? You know, that's just that, by the way. But the stony ground people are those that have not cultivated a regular prayer life. So what happens is when they hear the word, or they hear the word, or God speaks to them, or the Holy Spirit speaks to them, go and start a business, go and start a project, or do something. And then they start it. But as soon as, you know, they are okay until they face a challenge or a trial. Now, the minute a challenge or a trial comes like this, oh, that is when the word they believe, they heard and believe, it goes. They are the type of people that marry somebody. And then, after some time, you know, when challenges happen in marriage, I'm not sure this is the person God told me to marry or I'm meant to marry. Even marriages made in heaven, and there's no marriages made in heaven, it's made here. But let's even say, marriages made in heaven, they go through challenges. You know, I remember the other time, there was somebody I heard that said that himself and his wife, they've never fought. And I thought to myself, I need to understand the secret. It's either that one person cannot talk at all. But that's by the way. Let's move on. They are the kind of people that when they are going through a challenge, they stop coming to church. They are the kind of people that when they are going through a challenge, they take time off being a Christian. You know the way you take time off work? When you are ill. So challenges are their sickness, spiritual sickness. So that is time to take time off work. They go to the doctor, I need some sick notes. And they take, this is a spiritual sick note. I need some time off church, off spiritual things, so that I can get well. So they have no debt in them. You see, listen to me. There's nothing you will do in life that you will not face challenges or trials. Even when God tells you, an angel can come and appear to you and reveal it to you and write it down and tell you everything you do. The minute you start doing it, you face opposition. But if you have no debt in you, that thing will get stolen. You need to read the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah made a determination, decided that he wanted to go and build the walls of Jerusalem. And when he went out, he was not disturbing anybody. Sanballat and Tobiah, they had no business. He was just doing something, and they came and challenged him. Listen to me, when you're doing something good for God, people that don't have any business with you, they will challenge you. You'll face attacks, you'll face opposition. When you're doing what God has called you to do, and it doesn't mean working in church, but when you are working on your assignment or the direction that God has given you, you'll face challenges. But listen to me, if you have no debts in you, you step back and the world will be snatched away. Those that fall on stony ground, they are those that stop reading their Bible or praying. They are those that are always disappointed with God. You know the kind of people that are always disappointed with God. You know, I'm disappointed with God. God disappointed me. Hallelujah. Is someone getting something this morning? And then Jesus, because of time, I need to move on. The third kind of people that Jesus described, he said, those that are among thorns in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. These are people that hear the word. And they hear it, they love God. But what happens is the pursuit of success, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of wanting to acquire material things chokes the word out of them. You know, something interesting that I've noticed a lot of times in Christianity is that usually when people don't have a job, they come to church, very faithful, always praying. You see them at all the services. Give them a job, a good job, then success takes them out of what brought success in the first place. And that's dangerous. They are like, let me tell you, the story I heard from years back about a certain gentleman that used to, you know, he was ill. He was the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God that told us. You know, he was ill, so he used to go to the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He was very faithful in church, and anyway, they prayed for him, and he got healed. You know, he got healed, and the illness went. I think it was a serious illness, if I remember correctly. Anyway, after some time, they stopped seeing him. So I think about 6 months later, the general overseer met him somewhere, you know, and said, Mr. Adam, we haven't seen each other for quite a while. What happened? And I said, I went to, you know, that why should I come to church again? That when you are ill, you go to a hospital, and when you are sick, they discharge you. So I came to church, and now that I've been healed, what am I coming to do again? So the kind of people that they fall among thorns are those that are looking for something. And they come, and when they receive, I've received it, so I can go now. Have you seen those kind of people? they are the kind of people that, you know, that it says something. It says the thorns sprang up and choked them. They are the kind of people that are ready to compromise in order to gain something. So whether it's in business or their career or CV, they compromise. So the cares, the success, the money chucks away the word that they've heard. They are the people that allow the business of life to choke out their time with God. You know, the business of life has taken away the relationship with God. And then lastly, the fourth type that Jesus spoke about. He said something. He said the good ground, verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now this is the type of ground we ought to be. Those are the people that when they hear the word, they receive it with eagerness. They study the word. They meditate upon it. And what happens? Listen to me. The meditation gives root to the word you hear or read. Do you know that when you hear a word and you don't meditate upon it, it doesn't take root in you? Am I speaking to someone this morning? Let me repeat that. When you hear a word, listen to me. A lot of people are listening to this message. Quite a lot of people will not think about this message after today. And even as I'm sharing this, they may identify that, maybe I need to walk, I fall under the wayside. Some may think to themselves, I think I fall under stony ground. But they are thinking right now, but the minute they leave this place, they don't think anymore about what I've said. And in a year's time, what will happen? The same process. But if you take the word and meditate upon it and start thinking, okay, how can I move from being wayside Christianity or so to become good ground? And you begin to meditate and think about it. That is when it will make a difference. You see, the amount of virtue you give to something will determine what comes out of it for you. No, it's the other way. The amount of time you spend on something will determine the virtue that comes out of it for you. Am I making sense? So, this good ground, Jesus said something. He said, the people that have good ground, they are the ones that receive the word. They understand it. He said something. He said they receive it, they understand it, and it will bear fruit for them. That's the first type, first determinant. The soul you are. So, what soul are you? That's one. Number two, let me move quickly. The second thing that will determine your fruitfulness this year is the quality of the seed. What do I mean by that? Let's look at Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. It says something there. It says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. Notice that good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now I'm just going to use that verse to talk about around what I want to talk about. You see, the quality of seed sown into your life will determine the fruit you produce. Let me repeat that. The quality of seed that you allow or permit to be sown into your life will determine the fruits you produce. The words you hear, the things you listen to, the programs you watch are all seeds that are being sown into your life. Every day, whether you realize it or not, a seed is being sown into your life by the things you hear, the things you see, the programs you watch, by the things you listen to, the places you go. Seeds are being sown on a daily basis. Now, listen to me. You alone will determine the seeds that you allow into your life because you have control over the things you hear. You have control over the things you see. You have control over the places you go. Now, what kind of seeds do you allow into your life? What sort of programs, what sort of films do you watch? What books are you reading? Or do you read? If you only read Mills and Boons and expect that you'll be able to quote scriptures. or what movie do they read these days? Okay, Harry Potter. Let's say, I don't want to believe nobody reads Harry Potter yet. But let's assume that you read Harry Potter and then you expect that the Spirit of God will produce scriptures for you to be able to quote. The books you read, who are the people that you allow to speak into your life? You see, those that you listen to will determine the fruits you produce. Where do you get advice from? According to Jesus, Jesus said something. You know, he said in that scripture, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Basically, what Jesus was saying is there are good seeds and there are bad seeds. And listen to me. Both the good seed and the bad seed will produce fruit. Because if you look at that, both the wheat and the tares, they grew. They will both produce... let me use an analogy. You know that when it rains... When it rains, let's assume, when it rains around here, the rain does not discriminate between good plants and weed. It rains on both, and they both produce fruit. The word for the year is fruitfulness. There's good fruit, there's bad fruit. Now, the word has gone forth. If you are sowing bad seed, you begin to produce bad fruit. Because the word is for the house. Am I making sense? Listen to me. The things that you allow into your life, they become like a tape that is being placed in your unconscious. And at the appropriate time, they'll produce the fruit. So, Example, let's assume a young child grows up in a home where maybe the father used to be the mother. Now, if growing up or when he gets married, he does not change the seed in his life, he will grow up getting married and beating his own wife. Because that seed was sown in his life. Someone that is a Christian but hangs around, or I remember years ago, you know, my pastor used to say something like, do you know in the church, everybody that you should hang with. In the church. Now, I'm not saying everybody, people in the church are bad. But it depends on where you are going. There are some people that come to church, but they don't allow the word of God. Their heart is hardened. And it's only the Holy Spirit that will convict them and change their heart. And they come to church in order to go home and criticize the pastor. Or the word that was said, or to analyze and criticize and do whatever needs to be done. I remember in those days, my pastor said people used to eat him for lunch. That after the service, they then have lunch. And now, I want to believe that doesn't happen here. Now, if you hang around people like that and you want to produce good fruit in your life, there is no way. Because what you're hearing is cynicism. You know, there are some people that are cynical. Am I speaking to someone? There are some people that are suspicious of pastors. All the pastor wants is our money. But they come to church, but the minute they ask for offering, or if they ask for more than one offering or special offering, they want our money. What are they doing with our money? Where are the accounts of the church? How much do they pay the pastor? You can know how much they pay me. Just ask me. Let me move on quickly. Time. So what was the first one? Number two? Number three is the climate you create around you. I'm talking about the determinants of fruitfulness in your life this year. And you see, for those that are serious with God, you better consider all those things. The ones that you need to change, you need to change it. You need to determine what you need to do to create the right thing in your life. Let me quickly talk about the climate around you. Listen to me. The climate you create around you determines the fruit you produce. What do I mean by that? You do not see a pineapple tree growing in this country. So pineapple is not grown in this country. The same way, you can only bear good fruit when the climate is right for that kind of fruit. And good fruit, you can produce the climate around you so that you bear good fruit. You see, let's quickly look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. The Bible says something in Psalm 1. Verse 1. It said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It shall be like a tree, notice that, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Listen to me. It says something. It says, number one, it says that the man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know that there's a climate that is created around ungodly people? Uh-huh. Listen to me. I remember some time ago, I went to lunch when they just moved to this city. I went to lunch with some pastors. And these pastors were very cynical and, you know. And by the time I left the place, my spirit was, you know, and they were talking about some other pastor that had done something. And you know, I found myself that even in my head was thinking, climate was thinking. The climate that had been created, I went to a climate that was not right for what I wanted to produce. Is this making sense? Now, I'm not saying they are ungodly. Sorry, that's not what I meant. But, you see, the climate, and just like I said, that it's not everybody that comes to church. It is not all pastors that are my friends. You know? It is not everyone that is a Christian that you can be friends with. When I say friends, I mean close friends. But that's by the way. You should be friends with everybody, please. Be nice, be friendly. But when I talk about friends, I'm talking about those that you allow to talk into your life and, you know, sort of almost be covenant with. That's what I mean. Where am I? The climate. It talks about the ungodly. It talks about the scornful. It talks about the sinners. I need to quickly finish here. Let me use an example. Let me quickly use an example. Let's assume a home where there's always strife and fighting. There's no way that home can produce the fruit of love. You see, if the climate to produce the fruit of love does not exist, then love cannot. In fact, the children that come forth or grow up in that environment, they may not know what it means to be loved or to understand love. Have you met people that they don't know how to receive love? It's because they were never loved. And some people don't know how to give out love because they did not receive it. It's not that they don't want to give it. Am I making sense? Let me just try to show. You see, the reality is that in a climate, the climate you surround yourself with will determine what you produce. And you either influence that climate or they influence you. But the unfortunate thing is with a lot of Christians, they allow the climate to influence us. Hallelujah. I'll just jump quickly. Let me give you the last point and then we'll close. There's a scripture I should. Let me give you a scripture. Proverbs 22, verses 24 to 25. It says something. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Let's try to round up. The last point, determinant of fruit, is the timing. So the season. Psalm 1 verse 1, verse 3 says something. It says that the blessed man, it says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Brings forth its fruit in its season. Brings forth its fruit in its season. There is a fruit-bearing season for everything you do. Now, although I've said this is the year of fruitfulness, you need to realize that within this year, you'll have different seasons for different fruits in your life. And you need to understand, you need to be like the children of Issachar that had an understanding of the season they are in. Because if you try to bear a fruit of friendship, if I use that word, when it's meant to be a season or you should be bearing another kind of fruit, maybe a fruit of sowing some certain kind of seed, then you will not reap that fruit. So it's like a farmer. A farmer in a year knows what season each fruit comes out in a tree. And you see, some of the fruits you will bear this year will be seeds you've sown in the past, while some will be for seeds that you sow in this year. Let me use an example. Let me use an example. A married couple, and I put married couple. A married couple that decide that they want a child, or, you know, believe God. They may conceive in January or February. So they've sown a seed. But the fruit will not come out till September or October. Do we understand? So that there's a timing for each season that you bear, each fruit that you bear this year. So you need to understand the timing as well. And how do you understand the timing? By being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, allowing God to lead you. Let's rise up and pray.